We're back with Teacher Talk, sponsored by the Columbus Education Association, who is solely responsible for the views expressed. I'm Sue Miziak, your host. Just a few months ago on this program, I talked with CEA President Rhonda Johnson about the Martin Luther King Banquet, and at that time, I congratulated her for receiving the Helen Jenkins Davis Award for Outstanding Columbus Educator. Just a month later, it was announced that Rhonda would be retiring at the end of the school year and would become the Education Director in Mayor Coleman's cabinet. Even in retirement, Rhonda will still be working hard as an active player in education reform. Well, President Johnson is back on Teacher Talk this evening, and we're going to look at her career as an education advocate and as a cheerleader for all those teachers who are dedicated to helping children. Welcome back to Teacher Talk, Rhonda.
Thank you, Sue.
Well, it's kind of bittersweet. This is our last interview with you as president of the Columbus Education Association. But before we begin with the questions, I'd like to thank you on behalf of all the teachers in this district whom you've led as president for 10 years. Thanks to our union, as education professionals, we've come a long way. And in so many areas, including improving how teachers teach and how students learn. And Rhonda, I also want to thank you for being such an informative, delightful, and outspoken guest on this program. It's really been a pleasure.
Thank you so much for those kind words.
Well, Rhonda, you know, it's been a great relationship, and well, let's get on to this program here, okay? I'd like you to look back and tell me about your professional career in education, especially in the Columbus schools. Now, I know you came as a very young woman from Alabama, and you ended up teaching in Columbus, Ohio. So how did that happen?
Well, I got a scholarship to go to Ohio State to get my master's degree, and decided that I would like to stay in Columbus, and got a job teaching here right before graduation. Actually, graduation was sometime in September then. Ohio State had the summer graduation, and I actually started with the school system the Tuesday after Labor Day in 1978. Brand new teacher at Northwest Career Center. The program then was called Financial Secretary, and we don't even call people secretaries anymore.
No. Administrative assistants.
Administrative assistants. And so we worked with students to become employable in banks and financial institutions as secretaries. I taught shorthand, I taught accounting, I taught business English, business math, and really employability skills, making sure that our students were ready for a career, because there's more to it than just the coursework.
That's right. It is
how to conduct yourselves on the job, how to dress, how to work in teams, all of those skills that our students really need and are right now lacking to be employable, even now.
Right. Yeah. And I think we find that so often there is such a focus strictly on those individuals who might be going into a career that in which they need 4 years of college, and certainly in business you do, and maybe even an MBA. But I think a lot of times the vocational aspect gets neglected here, and providing our students with those skills that they can utilize right after high school is so important as well. Well, now, how did you first become involved in working with teachers? Now, what brought you to that?
John Grossman was actually the person who brought me to that.
And he was a former president of the Columbus Education Association.
That is right. And my mentor and my very dear friend. John Grossman had worked with two of the teachers in my department at Northwest Career Center. And so they knew him quite well,
right,
and were used to calling John. And so I start calling John when I had issues with the principal or issues at school. And he was the person who came to my building once and said, "Do you have a continuing contract?" And I said, "No." He said, "But you have a master's degree and you've been working 3 years. You qualify for that." And I said, "I didn't know."
Wow.
And, you know, right away, I filled out the paperwork and got my continuing contract. But it was a union person who helped me with that.
Right.
Now, HR helps with that, and they send notices out to teachers,
right,
to let them know that they are eligible for continuing contracts and how to apply. But back then, if you didn't have the union telling you these things, you wouldn't know as a very young teacher. And so I'm thankful to him. And so I was eligible a year before I actually got the credentials. So it was John, and I called John about every day. I was one of those frequent people that we talk about at the CEA office. Here's one of our regulars calling. And so I was a regular who called John Grossman all the time, and the other people who were also working there, Carol Wagner, the late Carol Wagner, who just passed in March, and Rick Logan. Those were people I worked with. And because I complained and I spoke out when I thought things were not the way that they should have been, John Grossman then asked me if I would be a member of the bargaining team. I think he really asked me because I could take shorthand and he thought I could take the notes, but I was much better at talking and negotiating than I was at taking shorthand.
I love that. I never heard that story before, Rhonda. That's really cool. So you became a member of the bargaining team, and were you a faculty representative then?
Or? I was not a faculty representative, but after that, then I became eager about everything in the CEA.
Uh-huh.
So that turned everything for me, sitting there at that bargaining table. And then I became a faculty representative. Then I became a delegate to the OEA and the NEA. Then I became a member of the board of the CEA, the mm-hmm. board of what we used to call CODA. It's mm-hmm. now the Central, it was the Central Ohio Teachers Association right. at the time. A member of the Teachers for Better Schools, the PACT, got involved politically. Just everything I could absolutely do, I did with the CEA. So it was great for me in that when I became vice president of CEA in 94, I had a lot of experiences and had worked in a lot of different areas in the union.
Who knew that one little issue of John coming to Northwest Career Center and talking to you about your contract, who knew that was going to lead to a life-changing situation? You probably thought you were going to spend most of your career in the classroom. But,
oh, I did.
Yeah, right.
And I was just happy because I had the best teaching job in the whole world. And people would say, where you work? I would say, you don't need to know, because I don't want them to, I wouldn't want them to come and work there because I love it so much, you can't have it.
That's right.
So it was absolutely the best job. And I would never have left that teaching job except to work for the union.
Right, right. Well, so now do you consider yourself, and this is kind of maybe a silly question after everything you've told us, but do you consider yourself an activist?
Oh, certainly.
Absolutely.
I certainly do. And it stems back from, you know, my upbringing in the South. And we've talked in this show about my grandmother being a teacher
right.
and belonging to the American Teachers Association. That was the organization for Black teachers in the South because uh-huh. they could not be members of the NEA.
Wow.
And so she started as an activist,
yes.
and she always went to association meetings. I didn't really know what that meant, but I knew that she couldn't pick me up from school because she had an association meeting. So she was an activist. And then in my little county in Alabama, people were very, very active in politics.
Mm-hmm.
People may remember Senator Hal Heflin from mm-hmm. Alabama, who had also been the Alabama Supreme Court Chief of Justice, was from Tuscumbia, Alabama, my hometown. So it was a very, very political county. And so I started, you know, my days in school, you know, student council in starting in the eighth grade. And then student council in high school, student government in college. So
this is in your blood.
Yeah,
it's in your blood.
I just love this.
That's great. Well, now a lot of people may not realize or understand that under your leadership, our union has worked very hard for more than just salaries and benefits, and certainly that's important to teachers. But our union made a shift. And that shift was looking at education as a whole. And can you talk a little bit about how, you know, we went from the beginnings of union activism, where we were just trying to get our rights and make sure that we had our rights, to where we are today, Rhonda?
Right. There are different frames of unionism. And there's the traditional model where we bargain for salaries and benefits. But we also have to bargain for professional issues, like making sure there's a quality teacher, a high quality teacher in every classroom. The peer assistance and review program was started under my predecessor, but I think we've taken that to a different level now, making sure that teachers have support and professional development from the very beginning to the end of their careers, wherever that might be, whether it's through the university system, whether it's through continuing education units offered in our school system, or professional development at the building level. That is very important. If we don't have high quality teachers, then we can't have high quality learning going on
That's
in
right.
our classrooms. And the other thing that our listeners might not know is that this program also addresses issues where veteran teachers may be struggling. And so we provide assistance to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in Finland, they always talk about what a great education system is. And Dennis Van Rokel, who's the president of NEA, talked about, you know, what are the teachers do in Finland? What does the administration do in Finland when a teacher is struggling? And the answer was, we help them. Well, what if that doesn't work? They said, well, we help them more.
Wow.
Well, what if that doesn't work? We help them more. And so the PAR program is designed to help teachers more. But at the end of the day, it may happen that not everyone deserves to be a teacher in Columbus.
That's
maybe
right.
they can be a teacher someplace else, but not in Columbus. So that is very important. We've been able to turn the corner on that. The other thing, too, is we've been able to turn the corner on collaboration. You know, we were adversaries. You know, the administration's on
With
one side.
The right.
union is on one side. We'll fight. We'll grieve. And we've reduced that to a very few grievances during the school year. When I started at CEA in 1994, I probably, you know, filed, you know, two or three grievances a week. Now we filed 10 or fewer in a whole year.
Wow.
Because we work with the administration to get problems solved. Do we get every problem solved? No, we don't. But we work with them together to get problems resolved. We work together so things don't
More
become
of
a blow up.
Collaborative effort.
Yes. And so we've, you know, and as a result of that, the NEA awarded us this $1.5 million grant to help us help the district and help students close the achievement gap. And we're working in two of our feeder patterns to do that work. So we've turned the corner on that. And then the last frame of unionism has to do with social justice. You know, making education a priority in this community and everyone's issue. The schools cannot do it alone. It takes everyone in the community wrapping around our children and making sure that they get a great education, because if they don't, we know what's going to happen with them. They have very little chance of success
right.
without a great education.
Well, you know, Rhonda, I think what's great about the CEA as well is that not, of course, we're all teachers and we look at these children as our students, but we also look at them as part of the village, as you've kind of made reference to. And I know CEA has been incredibly involved with, for instance, the United Way.
Yes.
You know, we've been involved with helping homeless students. We've been involved with scholarships for teachers, the children of teachers who are in the CEA, who are in the Columbus City Schools. So we're looking at, of course, first and foremost, academic achievement and helping these kids to be successful and to acquire 21st century skills. But we're also looking at the whole child as well.
That is, it's absolutely important.
Right, right. Well, now, serving as CEA president, while you've been serving for the last 10 years, Rhonda, which accomplishments have really maybe meant the most to you? And I know it's a team effort. It's not just Rhonda Johnson doing these things. You'd be the first person to say that. But what do you feel have been some of the real significant accomplishments that have been accomplished under your administration?
Well, I'm going to go back to what I talked about just a minute ago, and that has to do with collaboration.
Right.
I'm very proud of the relationship that the CEA has, not just with the administration, but with the Board of Education and with the community at large. I think that we are now viewed as a positive force instead of adversaries, that we are partners with people in the community and that we are allies. So I'm most important of the relationships that we've developed over time, because that's what we have. We, you know, all we have is each other.
Right.
And we have our relationships. And I'm very proud now, too, that we're all aligning our work around students.
Yes.
Everyone is aligning their work around students, and everyone in the community is seeing the benefit. It's an economic benefit to the community.
Yes.
So I'm very proud of that. I'm proud of the grant that we received from the NEA Foundation. There are, I think, 45,000 locals in NEA, and there are two locals that have this grant. So I'm very proud of that. The other thing I'm proud of, too, is our support for our LGBT community. Mm-hmm. We were one of the first locals, and maybe the first local in OEA, to bargain domestic partner benefits. But it goes beyond just bargaining the benefits. It is about making sure that we have equity for all of our members, and then equity for all of our students.
That's right.
Because when we support our teachers, then we can support our students at the same time. It's not just a trickle down to support teachers. We are out in front supporting them. And so I'm very proud of moving in that direction. Having been a child of the civil rights movement, education is the next civil rights movement, but also with our LGBT, it's a civil right as well. So I'm proud of those things that we've done. But you're right, it has been a team effort, and it's hard for me to think about what are the accomplishments when you live it every single
day. That's right.
And it's hard to, pull out, what is it that we did? Maybe in about 10 years, I can go back and say, back in 2007, we did this. Or, I'm also proud of the teachers who stood up against Senate Bill 5 to take away the collective bargaining rights for public employees. I'm very proud of how our teachers supported that effort.
They were leaders in that effort.
Teachers were leaders. They were at the State House. They got petitions signed. They did a wonderful job with that. And I always think about, it was our defining moment about what we were as a union. And, the defining moment for teachers who were ahead of me was the strike in 1975 that told what you were.
That's right.
And I think this was the same for Senate Bill 5 for us.
Yeah. Yeah, I have to agree. And I also like the fact that on so many fronts where education is a part of the discussion, that CEA or a representative from CEA is usually asked to sit at the table. And I think that's been a great thing. You yourself were on the Columbus Education Commission, and I know that you really made people sit up and listen. Well, now, any areas you wish had been more successful?
Well, yes, I wish that we had passed the levy in November.
Yeah.
That is probably the biggest defeat that has ever been in the 20 years that I've been at CEA. So I wish we had been successful in passing the levy, and we certainly would have been farther down the road in making sure that all of our students received an excellent education. But, timing is everything. Timing was not right. It was an aspirational levy. So I think that's my biggest, regret.
Mm-hmm. We'll see what happens in the future on that one. That's for sure. Well, now let's talk about your successors. Tracy Johnson is going to be the new CEA president, and Phil Hayes will continue, but was reelected as vice president of CEA. Now, you've mentored both of them for a few years now. I know you think highly of them. Just tell me a little bit about them.
Well,
they're going to be on the program, by the way. Our next program after this one.
I am so happy to have both of those people to lead the CEA beginning on June 1. Tracy has been a teacher with the school district, I think about 20 years, and Phil has been a teacher about 15 years.
So they have great experience.
They have great experience and excellent skills. They are the people who should be leading this organization. They have the skills. They were great teachers. They are passionate about educating our students. They are very passionate about the work of CEA. And then also, and you'll hear Tracy talk about this, making sure that our teachers feel empowered and that they are engaged in this work, because people need to understand that education is union work, and union work is education work. So you will hear her talk a lot about that. So I'm hoping that she will continue down this road of collaborative relationships and continue the relationship building in the community, so that CEA is always invited to the table. And so I'm just really excited about having those two Phil has been working alongside me as vice president for 2 years. He's excellent. He's very interested in politics. He's a social studies teacher, and you can ask him about anything, any bill over there, and he can rattle it off to you. And he's great. He's great with surveys and pulling communications together, the website, and those kinds of things. So I'm leaving the CEA in excellent hands.
Well, that's good to hear, and I'm sure that the membership has great confidence in both Tracy Johnson and Phil Hayes. Rhonda, let's talk about your future plans. Now, everyone has heard that you are going to be Mayor Michael Coleman's education director, or as the Dispatch likes to say sometimes, his education czar. So how did this come about, and what will your duties be?
Well, we'll have to see about the duties, but one of the recommendations from the Columbus Education Commission was to have a director of education for the city and to have this person sit as an ex officio member of the Columbus School Board. So that's going to be a huge duty.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a recommendation that was voted on by this group of 25 people, because the mayor wants to have someone in his cabinet who will devote 100% of the time to education.
And probably someone who has a background in public education. Makes sense, doesn't it?
It makes sense to me. And if you want to know about education, ask a teacher.
That's right.
And so I'm a teacher, and so I'm glad that he did choose me, and I'm very grateful. And I'm also grateful for the people who encouraged me to consider this job, because I thought that I was going to sail off into the sunset and retire, and I had people say, no, not so fast here. You still have some work to do with educating children, and don't forget about the 50,000 students who still need you to do this work.
Wow. Well, that was quite a challenge that they gave you, and I know that you're the person who will certainly be up to it. Rhonda, we're just about out of time here, but can you predict what the annual CEA retirement banquet will be like this year? That's going to be on May 17th, right?
Yes, and I'm going to say it's going to be the best one, because I'm retiring. So it's going to be absolutely the best. It's May 17th, cocktails at 6, dinner at 7. Tickets are $35. I hope people will come and join me in my retirement, at our retirement dinner. We have probably about 150 teachers who are retiring this year, so we want to honor all of them. We want to honor our friends of education, our outstanding faculty reps, our outstanding member. It is going to be a fabulous event, and I hope that people will make sure that they call the CEA office to get a ticket.
Okay. And so finally, Rhonda, this is it. Rhonda Johnson, it's been a pleasure having you on Teacher Talk. We appreciate your service to the teachers of the Columbus School District and to the children whom we educate. I've always believed that a person's legacy is based on the lives they've touched. With that said, thousands of us can say thank you for your hard work and dedication. And thank you for appearing on Teacher Talk.
Thank you so much.
This concludes our program. A podcast of this program will soon be available at wcbe.org. Please join me on Teacher Talk the first and third Tuesdays of each month. This is Sue Misiak wishing you a good night.